the devil's got it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. One at a time. You and Lori.
I just want to praise God and thank him for all the great things he's done in my life, all my life. Sometimes I didn't realize what he was doing, but I just praise his holy name this day. And thank you, Lord Jesus, and praise your holy name.
Amen. Hold on, Lori. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Hallelujah. People watching online can't hear you.
Well, I love the Lord, and you know, when it seems like everything's going wrong, you know, just hang on, because, you know, God's got it. He really does. And, you know, even though things are going on that it's stressful, you know, God gives you a peace, and he lets you know that he's working on these people. And you know, last night, went to the ball game, of course. But I just tell you, I thought, on the way, I started praying in the car, and I had my niece and nephew with me, and I said, oh Lord, I forgot to pray about this. And she said, well, you've prayed 3 times, how many more times are you going to pray? I said, every time something comes to my mind. And I'm just glad for that. I'm just glad for that.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank you, Father, just for bringing me to this church family that I have now. I love it. Wouldn't trade nothing for it. I'll never go back to what I was. And, dear Lord, just thank you with all my heart. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Don't want you to miss an opportunity. Anybody else? Hold on, let me get back here. Are you walking better?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
just not bending and squatting too good, yeah. But I can walk. I just wanted to say how much I love the Lord. I'm such a chicken and so backward. I just never say anything to anybody or tell anybody anything. And my brother Mikey has been on my heart so much because he's living in the world. And he know him. He wasn't raised like that. And he know, I know he knows. Yeah. And I just, and you know, there's more than my brother Mikey too and my family that's living in the world. But the Lord wants us to look at them like he looks at them.
Amen.
He loves
Amen.
Us all. He loves every one of us, no matter what we're doing. We have the ability to choose right and wrong. But I just want everybody to pray with all their might for my brother Mikey, because I love him and I miss him.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? We're all good. Clear hearts, clear conscience. We good. Bernie's about to give you an offering envelope. Hallelujah. Anybody need an offering envelope? Put a smile on your face. You're still worshiping God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody get an offering envelope needs one. Everybody gets two that needs two. Amen. Let's pray you can give this morning. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, we just thank you for seed that we can sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God. You'll multiply it, use it to expand your kingdom. You'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Amen. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Amen. Amen. Look like you did good coming in there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Fully trusting in God. Amen. At the same time, all wisdom is God's wisdom. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. All the time, amen. Glory to God. Well, if you'll turn to Jeremiah really fast, I'll preach really fast this morning. It won't take near as long. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Did y'all hear what he said? Just mind the Lord. So I got to mind the Lord back here. I know where Jackie stands, you know. Jackie's preach on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 25. I'm going to divert from our series on Jesus' sayings of I am just for a moment, or just for a week here, I think. Jeremiah 25, verse 26, I believe is where I want to go. Yeah. All the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth, also the king of Shishak, shall drink after them. Therefore, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, and vomit, fall and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. God's about to send the Babylonians to judge Israel. Remember the king Nebuchadnezzar? All right. It shall be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For behold, I begin to bring calamity on the city which is called by my name, and should you be utterly unpunished. You shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. He will give a shout as those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise will come to the ends of the earth. Now watch. For the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And at that day the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. How many know this passage of Scripture is talking about God's judgment? Amen. He says a disaster will come upon the nations. Somebody say amen or oh me. I know you wanted a sugar-coated gospel this morning. I really do. But it'll be all right. You're not going to get a funnel cake this morning, okay, with all that good sugar stuff on top. All right. Talking about disaster, have we seen any disasters around the world, say, in the last 10 years? I'm glad you said that because I wrote some of them down. An earthquake in Haiti in 2010 killed 200,000 people. 2 million were left homeless and 3 million in need of emergency assistance. In 2004, a tsunami hit Sumatra. It was a 9.15 on the Richter scale earthquake. It killed between 200 and 300,000 people. Hurricane Katrina left over 1,800 dead and $81 billion in damages here in America. In 2005, there was a Pakistani earthquake, killed 86,000, injured 106,000, destroyed 600,000 homes, and left 3 million people homeless. In 2008, in Sichuan, China, an earthquake killed 70,000. There's still 18, almost 19,000 missing and did $85 billion in damages. How many know we're talking about those? What I just read you is a natural disaster. It's what we call a natural disaster. But I'm going to leave that up to you later. But how many know this? Here's the point I want to make today. I don't really want to talk about God's judgment. I want to talk about the difficulties of life and where God is at in those disasters. How many know that we have things that go on in our life that we treat like it just well been a tsunami that killed 86,000 people? We take our problems seriously, right? Or most people do. So when we got a problem, a lot of times we let everybody know about our problem. Huh? Okay. Point I want to make is, where's God when all this is going on in your life? When the storms come. I want you to turn with me real quick to Haggai. Well, where in the world's Haggai? Page 1243 if you got a Bible like mine. Page 1243 if you got a Bible like mine. Sometimes I think to write the page numbers down, and sometimes I don't. I know you do. Haggai, the prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verse 1. Page 1243, you got a Bible like mine. Haggai is right after Zephaniah, another easy one to find. But right before Zechariah. So if you find Malachi, which is next to Matthew, you can go backwards to Zechariah and then to Haggai. Amen? You there? Chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you? Who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, let me clear this up for you. The Babylonians have destroyed Solomon's temple and the city of Jerusalem, okay? Zerubbabel is one of the ones who goes back. You know, Nehemiah went back, Ezra went back. They rebuild a temple, right? And they rebuild a very small temple. It could not even compare to the grandeur of Solomon's temple, not even close, all right? And so God's telling Zerubbabel in verse 4, he's telling him, be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Just get to work. Amen. Don't worry about that disaster. Don't worry about that problem. Just get to work. And what's God say? I will be with you. Amen. We here as a corporate body, we all as individuals, we have problems. We have difficulties we're dealing with. Let me tell you something. If you got families, you got problems. Huh? No, relationships are not easy. They're not. Without God, they're impossible. Can I say that? Is that all right? Okay. So the thing that we have to do as a body of believers, as individuals and corporately, is we just got to be about the Lord's work. Amen. Don't let the problem dictate how you're going to act. Too many people, too many Christians, the minute we face problems, we retreat. Don't retreat. Go forward. I love them World War II videos. I mean, I absolutely love them. And I want to see this new movie, Midway. I don't know what it is, a documentary or a movie. So I got out the old World War II videos last week, and I found the one about Midway. And, you know, Pearl Harbor was a disaster. A disaster could have been averted. Because we had the warning signs. Even early that morning, we had the planes on radar. That's just somebody else coming in. You know, they ignored all the warning signs. And so in that disaster, what that disaster did, America wasn't in World War II. We didn't want to get involved. We'd already come through World War I, had enough. But after Pearl Harbor, of course, FDR, he was pretty slick about it. He sent the British all kinds of planes and ammunition and tanks and, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know, to help the Allies fight the Nazis. But now Japan bombs Pearl Harbor. And, you know, the greatest thing about America, I watched that video about Midway. The greatest thing about America and Americans at that moment, and what I took out of that video, is they went to work. Americans went to work. Americans came and signed up for the military. The women went to work in the factories. We went to work. And guess what, America? God was with us. Amen. If you want God with you, then get to work. Amen. Quit feeling sorry. Did I say that? And get to work. Tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Stand up for your God. If you get to work about the Father's business, God will be with you. Amen. Now, I also, if we look over here at, let me find that here in this verse. Look over here in verse 6. It says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations." You know, when I read that, I can't think of the guy's name. One of the commentaries I read on that verse of scripture is he said that when God shakes the nation, he shakes the nations, he's causing a political upheaval. Amen. Could we say America might be in a shaking right now? Amen. And around the world, you've got the Chinese. Let me tell you something. Don't ever think for a minute that they're on our side, okay? They are not on our side, okay? They have expanded their territories in the Pacific Ocean, and don't you ever take your eye off of them, okay? And the Russians, too, although the Russians' economy has went down so bad. but that's another story. But they still got nukes, so you got to keep one eye, you know. Keep your, what is that? What's that saying? Keep your friends closer than your enemies, or your enemies closer than your friends, something like that. Anyway, there is a political upheaval going on in the world. And there is one in America, too. But what's our job? Our job is to still go to work. Work in the kingdom of God. Because God will be with us. No matter what happens, God will be with us. Understand this. God has a plan. Amen. God has a plan. And listen, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. God has had a plan from the beginning, and his plan has always centered around the fact that God loves his creation and that God has always wanted to dwell in the midst of that creation. From the Garden of Eden until the present time right now, God has always wanted to dwell with his creation, and he's dwelling in us now. Somebody say amen. And he's coming back, glory to God. And New Jerusalem is coming down, amen. And God will be in the midst of that. Somebody say amen or oh, amen. So we can't be over concerned about the things that are going on. Jesus said, you know, I got this one truck driver, man. He worries about worrying. And he is busybody. He is the gossiper of all gossipers. You know, we say in the old patch, if you haven't heard a rumor by noon, start one. He starts them by 6 o'clock. He'll call me at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, there ain't no oil here. And I'm like, what do you want me to do about it? You know? But he worries about worrying. I said, listen, Mike. His name's Mike. Mike, I thought you was a Christian. Well, I am. I don't know how good a Christian he is. He prayed a prayer. We're going to give him that one, all right? I said, Jesus said, worrying wouldn't add anything to your day. Nothing. Zero. Nada. He even knows the hairs on your head. Why are you so worried and fretful? You can't fix it. You call me at 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't fix it. There's nothing there. Go home. Just go home. Don't call me. Go home. I'm in my beauty rest. I usually get up 5:30, me and Deb. So at 4 o'clock, I'm in my beauty rest. I mean, that's the time that I'm being beautified. And y'all can look at me and know that he's called me more once, right? Woke me out of that. Worrying's not going to do it. Listen, we just got to be about the Father's business because the Bible says, does that mean anything with any of you? That's our final authority. Amen. Bible says God will be with us. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah 54. Here's a promise to Israel that we can make a spiritual application to ourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 54. Do I want to go there? Yeah, we'll go there. And then we're going to find old Nahum. Page 938 is the one I'm looking for here in Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verse 9 says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Now, I want you to mark that. I'm going to read verse 10 again. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. How many of you know that's a disaster? Okay. But my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulty you're having in life, God's kindness is not going to be removed from you. Amen. And he says, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Now mark that. And I want you to go over to page 1217, if you've got a Bible like mine, to Nahum. Nahum. Nahum's one of the so-called, the way scholars break down the prophets, you have major prophets and minor prophets. Nahum, they say, is minor, but I don't think there's anything minor about his message. We're talking about the storms and disasters, okay? Let's just start in verse 1. The burden against Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. Quit worrying about the bad guys. Amen. God's going to take care of his enemies. Amen. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. They're not getting by with it. I've dealt with people before. Well, why so-and-so? Why are they doing this? Why they have that? And I'm over here trying to serve God and struggling. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God will deal with the wicked. Amen. He says, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. That's the part I want you to see. God, or the Lord, has his way in the whirlwind. That's a Jewish way, an idiom of talking about God's judgment, whirlwind. You know, when God brings an army, when he brought an army to Israel, it was like a whirlwind. The army came, they conquered, and they left. Some of them occupied, most of them kept on going. God is his way, he has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. The disasters that are happening around the world, I believe with all my heart, God is having his way. Amen. It says here, and it says in the whirlwind and in the storm, God has his way. Somebody say amen. All right, now, I'm gonna skip some, and I'm gonna go right over to where I want to be this morning. I want you to go over to Mark chapter 4. You know where I'm going. You got to know where I'm going. If you don't know where I'm going now, you need to read your Bible a little more. Okay, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I didn't write the page number down. You ought to be able to find Mark by now. There you go. Verse 33. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them. This is Jesus. As they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I mean, Jesus got up out of a sleep, called him at 4 o'clock in the morning. They got him out of his sleep because of the storm. Amen? And he calms the storm, and they're wondering out loud to each other, "What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this that calms the storm?" Because they believe, good Jews believe, that it was God who was in command of the storm because of verses like we just read previously. Where we read? Where were we at? Over in Isaiah, where we read that? That God has his way in the storm. Amen? Listen, one of the things I can honestly tell you that I have experienced, I got this guy, he's 20-some years old, never pastored church, wants to teach leadership. I said, man, you never even pastored a church. Yeah, but I've had this course and that course and this course. I said, so you'll just be giving us information. There's no experience to go along with that. And he finally caught on to what I was saying. You know, you want to teach leadership to a group of guys that's been pastoring for 10, 20, 30 years? Really? That's not going to go over very well. I'm not saying you don't have anything to say. I'm just saying put yourself in my place, okay? But one of the things I can honestly tell you over the years is that no matter what storm I went through, what battle I had to fight, God was always with me. I may not have ran to him first, like you all do. The first time you get some bad news about your children, some battle your kids are in, I'm sure you turn immediately to God. You don't ever try to pick up the phone and call him and fix it, ever. I'm sure you never do that. Huh? I can honestly say that God has always been there with me. But sometimes he has to let the battle rage before we realize, hey, whoa, wait a minute, time out. Get my hands off. I need his hands on. And it takes experience. It takes experience to realize, hey, I'm in a battle here. I need God involved. And the hardest battle is over our kids. We always try to fix our kids. It's hard to say, God, I give them to you. It's hard. I can't imagine what it was like for Hannah, who prayed for that child and believed God for that child, and now she's got that child, and she's got to give that child up and give that child to God, to let the man of God raise him. I can't imagine what that would have been like. But then again, I can't imagine what it was for Mary either to give birth to a son, raise that child for 33 years, and watch that son hang on a cross at Calvary for you and I and the world. But I can honestly tell you, folks, as a church, we can't look around and see all the empty seats that's here. I can see them. You can see them. We can't worry about that. We can't whine and complain about that. But what we do have to do is we got to get to work. We've got to build our relationship with God in order that we can go out and tell somebody about God. Amen? And invite somebody to church. Don't just invite them to church. Try to win them as a disciple. You know, try to win them to the Lord. You know how you got saved. It's not rocket science. It's pretty easy, really, when God's been dealing with somebody's heart. I remember I can't remember the young man's name. We went to that young man in hospice. And when I walked in, I was with Mike. We walked in and he knew I was the preacher. He said, man, I've been waiting on you. I said, what you been waiting on me for? He said, I want to get saved. I said, it's pretty easy. Once God gets a hold of that heart, it's pretty easy. You just got to do your job and get to work. God will be with you. Don't be afraid to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Somebody say amen or oh me. Just get to work. He'll be with you. Amen. But let me tell you, I got to tell you this. And I'll get on to closing here in a minute. You know, I got to tell you this. You wake up grumpy. You wake up with a bad attitude. What I'm saying is, if you go get up grumpy and you go get up with a bad attitude, don't go to work for God that day. You know, just do your own thing. Leave everybody alone. That's why it's so important God wants to be in our midst. You know, we read from Jeremiah in Sunday school that God's mind is on you. His thoughts are on you. In that same passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 29, it said that God is listening for your prayers. Amen? That's why it's so important that you and I, we're not where we, I'm not where I ought to be with God. I'll be honest. I need more time with God. Okay? In order for me to work more effectively in God's kingdom, I need more of him in my life. You read Jesus, you know, some of the smallest verses, you know, you just read the verses and Jesus went off to pray. You know, he gave everything he had, but he always went back to the Father to reboot. That's a modern word, reboot. You know what that means. I don't know what that means. I think it means, does it just mean turn it back on? Okay, I know what it means. He always went back to the Father to reboot. We need to go back to the Father to reboot. Netflix, football games on TV. Some things are not bad, but, you know, they don't reboot us spiritually. They don't prepare us to go to work in the kingdom of God. I said this last week, you know, or sometime recently, we have to check our hearts, see what it is we're spending the most time with. Because what we're spending the most time with has become our God. So, amen or oh me. But you know, no matter what's going on around us, God is with us. You know, at least those men in that boat, and I love the Sea of Galilee. I got to swim in the Sea of Galilee one time. That was pretty cool. I didn't walk on the water. Okay. But I did get to swim in it once, and it was quite the feat getting the old fat boy back up in that big boat. That was the thing I feared the most if I got in, was getting back in a boat. You know, but we were fairly close to shore. I figured if they couldn't get me up. But they drug a fatter boy up in there. So I figured, well, they'll get me up there. And then my mind got to racing when I'm in the water and I'm looking way up at this boat. I'm like, what if they're wore out from dragging the first guy, the first fat boy up there? So that's the way we do, right? We try to look for God, but the problem just gets bigger. Magnify God, and he'll get bigger than the problem. And they drug me up there. You know, I lost a little hide and belly coming over that rail, but, you know, they got me up there. And, you know, God will get you up there too. Just remember, in the storm, you still got to go to work for him. We're still about building his kingdom. He is with us. Amen? Glory to God. Come on, Mike and Charles David. Let's serve communion this morning. Hallelujah. I tell you, if God gets any better, we're not going to be able to stand it. But try us, Lord. Try us, Lord. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Hallelujah. A little piano music could be good right now. Would sleep on me. Lost all control. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. I got a new table I need to put right there in the middle. Did anybody get Eli and Debbie? They coming? I seen your granddaughter down there too. Oh, you got me? Okay.
No, I mean, did anybody tell her?
I'll get Debbie. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you what, folks, I believe the church as a whole, our greatest days are in front of us. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe in a revival, I think I'd just sit on the sideline. But I believe God is about to do something in Israel and in America, in His church. But it might be in the middle of a storm. For sure. Do what? We'll see. Come on up, man. Gotcha. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. We just magnify your holy name. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes we are healed and made whole. And this morning, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are a high priest interceding for us, and that you are a soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body this morning. One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. The Bible says that life is in the blood, and at Calvary, the Lord Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. And he said, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And he was talking about our relationship with God. We can have as much of God as we're willing to put into that relationship. We also know that in a Jewish betrothal ceremony, that the bride drank of that fourth cup as a vow of her fidelity and faithfulness until her bridegroom came. And the Lord Jesus told his disciples, he said, I won't drink of this cup until I come in my Father's kingdom. So this cup now also becomes a symbol of our vow to him until he comes. A vow of our faithfulness and fidelity to him. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you this morning, we drink from this cup. Hallelujah. Now, traditionally Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, ladies are usually busy. We don't have a Wednesday night service. But Wednesday morning, we do have the jail ministry where we're packing bags. So if you've been asked to make cookies, brownies, whatever, please do it and have it here at 9 o'clock Wednesday. If you're not doing anything, you want to help us fill bags, come on over and help us at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. Amen. It's been very much appreciated. We've had a couple letters written to us, and you all have really been a blessing to the people in jail. Now, you can take the attitude, well, they deserve to be there. Well, they're still human beings. Amen. They're still made in the image of God. So therefore, we want to minister to them the best we can. Hallelujah. Let me bless you and Lucian let you go. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, Lord God, for these your people, that you will anoint them this week. Anoint them with your presence, Lord, and help them to get to work to build your kingdom, to witness for you, to tell someone about your goodness and mercy. Bless these your people spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. Bless us in every area of our lives. Bless us this Thursday, Lord, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, as we celebrate all your goodness, Lord God. Bless our families. Bless our tables this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.